Good morning. Good morning. Hope everyone's doing fine today. Let's open with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, thank you so much for this particular section that just renews our faith that anyone can seek repentance, and that we look forward to you always being able to care for us and to reach out to us when we drift off. And that we'll always be pulled back into your good graces. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to look at Christ is going to teach on repentance here in chapter 15. Take the first 10 verses today, because the famous parable of the prodigal son is from verse 11 through 20 something. And so that'd be like a one lesson day. So I took this as kind of like a little introduction, and there's two parables here that we're going to talk about. Parable of the lost sheep and the piece of silver. So got a new picture. Take a look at that. Definitely pick off right off the bat. We see Jesus here with the lost sheep. Found him in the thicket and saved him from certain destruction by a wolf. I've heard components say that, why would you go after the one sheep and leave the other 99 unprotected? When it comes to the wolf, think about it for a minute. So, wolf is hungry and looking forward to steal a sheep. Is he going to go after the 99 that might be able to help protect themselves? Or is he going to go after that one that's wandered off by himself and scared and lonely and with nobody around him to help him? So, I think symbolically that. Of course, the one sheep it would be the lost savior, the lost person, and that I think we all rejoice when one of our fellow brethren who has drifted off the path that the Lord is faithful to always bring them back. That's really what we're talking about here. I also want to start off too by talking a little bit about who the audience is that he's talking to too. Just a little outline of the next three chapters really are, there's a lot of parables. So I'll try to just dissect them. I just went through a quick like overview just to look at them. And here in chapter 15, we got Christ teaches on repentance. Chapter 16 is mostly about teaching on stewardship. We got the parable of the unjust steward. We got Christ reproves hypocrisy by the covetous Pharisees. And the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar. That's a great one too. I love that one. That's in Luke 16, 19. It's a great, that's not really a parable either. Actually, because and I just noticed a note that I copied from said parable, but it's not a parable. In chapter 17, it goes on that Christ teaches on offenses. So as he's walking back towards Jerusalem, I can see he, that's a pretty good journey if he's up in the Galilee area. That's a 3 or 4 day journey back down to Jerusalem. So he's spending a lot of time and having a lot, he's probably got quite a following. So he's spending the whole time teaching because he's actually heading towards his last week as a man. And at taking that time to teach the disciples, but also the followers that are following. So let's take a look here. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 15 in Luke, they drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And I find it fascinating that to see that, of course, we know publicans, those are the tax collectors. We know Matthew was a tax collector. And the two that are named are Zacchaeus, and then which is a chief of the publicans, and then Matthew. But there's others that are also mentioned all through the Bible. And they seem very interested in Jesus and knowing about this future world. So I find it interesting that some of the chief sinners are the ones that are paying attention to Jesus the most. Well, at least sinners in the eyes of the average Jewish person. So speaking of Matthew, we'll start off here with the parable of the lost sheep. We know Matthew was one of those publicans, and we saw that over in Matthew 9:9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me, and he arose and followed him. That was and then over in Luke 5, 27 and 28, we also see the same thing. Here he's named Levi. He had two names, a Hebrew name and probably a Roman name. And that's where we get the difference between them. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. That's the Luke account. Then we got Zacchaeus. He's over in Luke 19. And here I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among all the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. He was a very short man, and so the famous saying is he climbed up into a sycamore tree. We see it in verse 4. And ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And of course, that brings a lot of ridicule from the in that particular story from the, we'll get to that when we get to chapter 19. But from the same ones we're going to focus on here next. So back to Luke 15:2. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I like to call the Pharisees all through the Bible seem to be the peanut gallery, as I like to call them. They always got a negative thing to say about what Jesus is doing. Occasionally, some of them get curious enough to really ask intelligent questions, but most of the time they're accusing him. And it also seems like every time we turn around, we see Pharisees mocking Jesus. So it's like a group of them must have been taking turns following him around. But I love how Jesus uses these opportunities too to teach. And of course, I always love getting to know the favor more. So the fact that Jesus is answering these men and rebuking them gives us a lot of understanding of what Jesus is like. So let's read through this first one. It's in Luke 15, 3 through 6, 7, the first parable of the lost sheep. And we'll kind of take it apart a little bit and check out some things, some parallel verses. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man, if you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And I think the thing Jesus is really pointing out here is that we should all be happy for that one person that came back to the flock, and we shouldn't be accusative. Now we're going to see that when we get to the parable's son, that's very paramount in that story. Actually, all three of these, I was reading a couple of commentaries, and I know Jane Vernon McGee is one I like to read upon, and he was commenting that really this whole chapter is about finding the lost, and that these first two parables are kind of leading up to and giving us a little background on the parable of the prodigal son. And this is also over in Matthew. This same parable is over in Matthew 18:11-13. It's pretty short, so I'll just read it. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth he not leave his 99 and goeth into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so, be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. A little different aspect of that same story, but same general theme. Peter also comes in 1 Peter 2:25, talking about loss. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And I think I can relate to this chapter in my own life many times. I know for sure I backslid for quite a few years. And I look back and I thank God that Jesus came and found me, that lost sheep, and brought me back into the fold. And I went fighting and kicking, and he didn't give up on me. A little bit more like the parable son when we get to that one. Let's talk about a few other things in this. We see over in John 10:11-14. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. For the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And that particular little parable there in Matthew 18 is really talking about the false teachers versus the true Messiah and what Jesus does for us. When we follow Jesus, he is the true shepherd, and that he will not forsake us or leave us. And that's the lesson of that particular version. And we take a look at verse 6 again. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. We see over Romans 12:15. Okay, lost track of where I'm at. Romans. I forget to put it in here. Guess I did. Let me just put it in here real quick. Romans, where are you, Romans? Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So that... Okay, in verse 7, I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. So over in Mark 2:17, we see a little bit that helps us with this. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole need no need for a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I just want to make a point here. He says, I didn't call the righteous. And I think it's a good point to realize there are no righteous people. The only righteous people are actually people who are following Christ. And it's because of Jesus' righteousness, not ours. But I'd like to take this opportunity just to real quick remind us that what is said over in Romans and also Mark, what is meant by that none of us are righteous enough on our own. In Romans 3:10, it says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And over in Romans 3:22 and 23, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, that for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're not righteous on our own. So don't take that verse to mean that. It means that through Jesus Christ's righteousness, that we're able to be saved. Also in Mark 10:18. And Jesus said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And that's an interesting verse, but I think what Jesus is basically trying to say is that, and we're probably talking more about him as a man. He was trying to relate it to the people around him, that you look to God for your salvation, not to man. So now we're going to move into a second parable. This one's called the parable of the lost coin. And this is in verses 8 through 10. I'll just read through it and we'll kind of pick it apart a little bit. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, this is still Jesus speaking, by the way, through this whole thing. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. I read this. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When I read this, I couldn't help but think about the fact that now I'm really good at losing my glasses all the time. And they're not cheap, you know, that even with my insurance, you know, they're up there in price for my copayment. So I hate losing them because they cost extra to get new ones. So I can feel that joy that when I misplace them and I go searching the house diligently to find them, the whole world could be coming to an end, but I got to find my glasses. So I can really relate to this story a little bit. And so when I finally find the glasses, I say, oh, thank God. And I do thank God because he helped me find them. And so I think of this, that when I read this story. So let's take a look at a few things here. In verse 8, we talked about either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently to find it. And talking about seeking, let's look at Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And going back to Ezekiel 34:12, great little verse here. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. That's going all the way back into the Old Testament. So things haven't changed that much. Very symbolic of what God, Jesus has done for us. And jump into verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So this is going to be, I can see already, a fairly short lesson, but got a couple of verses that help support this too. In Ezekiel 33:11, see unto them as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? And then going to Matthew 18:10-11. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven there are angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. And I stuck that in there based mostly on the fact that it mentions about the angels rejoicing in heaven. I think we do have guardian angels that we've had probably since birth, and they kind of keep an eye on us even when we get older. So let's take a little bit, kind of look at our picture. We already talked about Jesus finding the sheep, bringing it home. And what do we got top here? We got somebody, looks like they got a plate. This is to find the coin, at the lady with the lamp, and she's trying to find her coin. And we got the angels rejoicing in heaven over here. And then we're going to get to this last part is talking about the prodigal son, going back here. I haven't quite figured out what this thing in the center is yet. I think that's probably talking about it, because it's the center of the picture, that it's representing Jesus and how he is our salvation. So that's all I had for today. It's going to be a little bit shorter today. So I hope you enjoyed that. Let's end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We look into your word and thank you for all that you do, Lord. I praise you and I thank you so much that we can come to you always when we are lost, and you can help us find our way. And we give you ever more thanks for that. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, so tomorrow we'll take a look at the prodigal son. And that's in verses 11 through the end of the chapter, 11 through 32. So tomorrow might be a little longer than today. But a great story. And so if you want to take a look at it before tomorrow, maybe it might be advisable. Refresh your memory about the prodigal son. And maybe try to think about it, too, from the standpoint of the father. The father and how he trusts us. I remember listening to a sermon one time where somebody, they always talk about it from the standpoint of the son. And the fact that the son wised up and came back to salvation. Try to think of it from the standpoint of the father. That because he's representing God. And that God gives us free will to do as we please. And that he's always hoping that we'll come back to him. And when he does, he can see us coming afar off and go and welcome us back in with a loving spirit. And that I thought that was a great sermon and a great approach, rather than always thinking about it from the son's standpoint. Okay, I'll talk again tomorrow. And you all have a great day.